Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy, Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
My name is Naomi.
We're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Ooh, Naomi.
Woo. Woo. It ain't even noon yet, so I'm waiting to know why you're wooing, sis.
Oh, just general dystopia. We don't have to get into it. Just
that wasn't what I was asking. I thought you was going to talk about, let me tell you what I was thinking
generalized.
My man was going to say, which was, we woke up and we recorded an episode right before this with somebody who's like a grown adult and was like, can you do 9 a.m.? And I said, absolutely not. What about 10:30?
Not even if you want us to be coherent.
Much. Even 10:30 was a lot pushing. That's what I thought your woo was for, because Andy was like, literally like, I'm going to try to be there. And you did great. But I thought now you were feeling the woo in your bones.
Oh, yeah, no. Just like the minute I have to talk about something, like there's a Rolodex in my mind.
I know.
And like 90 of the 100 cards in this Rolodex are like problems, societal problems. And I'm just like, nope, 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 nope. What are we going to, Slings and Arrows, the Canadian show from the late 90s about a Shakespeare festival? I guess we could talk about that.
Yeah, but then it's no one great. Else has the reference, you guys.
It's a great
that's
show.
The problem.
It is a great show. I think I mentioned it last week.
Yeah, you love it. You love Slings and Arrows, and I love it for you.
Because I'm watching it for the umpteenth time at this point, so I'm really going through the Shakespeare festival, like every 3 seasons. We got Naomi, season one.
Oh, don't tell me.
Hamlet.
Andy, I'm not interested.
Season two?
Andrew.
Mackers.
Mackers?
Yeah, Macbeth.
Oh, my Lord.
Because you can't say, Naomi, you can't say the name of the Scottish play in the theater. And because our house is a recording studio.
It is the theater.
I have to say Mackers.
You
I can't.
Say Mackers.
This is the theater for us.
Do you know Mackers is what they called McDonald's when I lived in Australia? I used to be like, you want to go to Mackers? Yeah.
And you were so confused. You're like, well, I do love
the Scottish play.
I do love the Scottish play. So, yeah, I'd love to go. And then you go and you're like, oh, I guess I'll get a 10-piece.
Everyone would tease me because I would get a filet of fish.
Naomi. Naomi. Great idea. You do Shakespeare, mm-hmm. and everyone gets a free 10-piece nugs.
What do you mean you do it? And then everyone
not you.
Gets, everyone.
But I'm saying, like
you are we saying the audience gets a free 10-piece? You're saying all the actors audience. Get a free 10-piece?
I'm like, you want people to be interested in Shakespeare in 2024?
Give them free nugs. Okay. Okay.
Why would they make fun of you? I'm not going to let this go past. Why would they make fun of you for having a filet of fish?
Because who orders a filet of fish? It was literally just like, you're getting what?
And I
was
like, Sharpling.
That's me. Wanted a filet of fish.
Tom Sharpling loves filet of fish.
Really? Mm-hmm. Good to know. Mm-hmm. Good to know I'm in the same company as Tom Sharpling.
Naomi, do you remember last week's episode? I implored people to tell me.
You beseeched.
I don't know if I'm going to break up with my therapist.
You should.
Well, we had it when we do focus on when I do have an actual emotional issue, she's good. But I'm saying those issues happen are more and more rare these days. It's more about the 90 cards in the Rolodex.
I know.
Right. So I asked people, I'm like, please tell me what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got comments.
Yeah. People
comments on
in.
The Instagram.
Yep.
People sent in comments as reviews.
Wow.
On Apple Podcast. So I just wanted to go through some of these.
Yeah.
One person, a social worker and somatic therapist.
Okay. Someone in the biz.
They sent in a podcast. I haven't listened to the podcast episode yet. They're like, hey, I think this is really useful. So I can't recommend it yet. But I just wanted to say they said, as a social worker and somatic therapist, I'm really proud of you, Andy, for taking the step. We all need different people for different parts of our journey, and it's a big milestone when you're able to see that and have outgrown the person you're currently working with.
Wow.
So I just want to read That's praise nice. For myself.
You did. You needed that. You needed to read that out loud and then have other people hear it.
This other person says, as a therapist who has been fired by clients a time or two, I would say if you are really, truly done working with this therapist, then an email is not only sufficient, but probably the best way to go is to not have to pay for a final session mm-hmm. or have any discussion about it, as Naomi suggested.
Well, I told you, I said, save your coin. I ain't paying to break up with you. You paying me. I'm dead up right now.
Another therapist. We almost exclusively got comments from therapists saying
good.
How they want to.
Well, that's good.
I'm a therapist in Portland, Oregon, and I heard Andy ask about advice on how to break up with a therapist. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, this might be a good time to write a 5-star review. I'm going to tell you, folks. Anytime is a good time to write a 5-star
review. It's always
review.
A perfect time to write a 5-star
no matter
review.
Hey, are you trapped in the trunk of a car as a mafia person drives you to where you might be executed in the woods?
Leave your location in the 5-star review.
Yeah.
You know, are you on the turlet? Leave your location in a 5-star review.
So they say termination with a therapist is largely for the client, not really for the therapist at all. Unless your therapist is making the sessions about them. Red flag, booze. It can be a really lovely and connective way to have an ending that feels intentional to the work you did together, especially since life doesn't often give us the kind of endings that we want or need. We go into this field knowing that we may not get to have endings with our clients. While there are countless reasons why clients leave therapy, I make sure to do my own work not to internalize the termination
Absolutely.
Or why the client needs to leave therapy.
Absolutely.
I have worked with clients for years that at a certain point need a different type of therapy, perspective, or modality.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the best fit for the client's needs. And if my clients need something different, I absolutely want them to terminate and go find what they need. All of that is to say, if you feel it would be beneficial for you to have a termination session with your therapist, by all means, do that. So we got a bunch of different... My friend Adam texted me and said, break up with your therapist by editing together a supercut of you complaining about her on the pod. If she insists on changing your mind, spend the next 40 minutes talking about Zelda. That was his suggestion.
Yeah, that's a real good way to get that to stop.
So
talk about Zelda for 40 minutes. I'm like, get out.
We have a lot of
get out. We're done here.
A lot of different perspectives here where I'm like, yes. Well, you know, there was Mask of Majora, which is very, you know, it just kept getting better and better until the point where we're at now with Zelda. So it could
even
happen.
I am ready to leave and I've chosen this man for life. Can you imagine?
So I have to figure it out. I guess.
I meant leave the conversation, you guys.
I have to figure it out.
You can do this. It's fine. I think it'll be good for you to do this. You and I, we gotta get rid of these people who are no longer serving us.
How did you get rid of? Did you just stop calling? your, you know, the bad therapist.
Oh yeah, the Lamictal woman. I just didn't interact with her. I just stopped. But we also hadn't only, we maybe only had 6 sessions.
Right.
So it wasn't so long that it felt like, oh, we need to have a thing. But even though I was tempted, though, because I was tempted to yell at her and be like, hey, you messed up my medication and I don't trust you. But I was like, she don't even seem like the kind of person who would hear that. And that's already a problem. She seemed a little too, yeah. You know, I can't have these young girls. I need my therapist. Grown. I need my therapist. I made a reference. I made a joke in therapy about CBT, DBT, BBD, the East Coast family. And she didn't know what I was saying. And I said, you're too young. I can't work with you. I can't work with you. If you don't know about ABC, BBD, the East Coast family.
What do you think is a reference point that they need to know that shows that they're old enough? Sanford and Son?
Do you think that shows? They should have at the very least my references.
Okay. Because I'm thinking Sanford, if you know Sanford and Son, you're older than me. And
that's
therefore,
true. That's true. And I could take that too. If you know who Red Fox is, you know.
If you've listened to Red Fox's albums.
If you've listened to Red Fox's albums.
You're the therapist for me.
Where were you when Red Fox died?
Where were you? Hey, listeners, where were you?
Think about it. Get right with your God and get back to me.
We also got an update. Do you remember in Leland's episode, we answered a question, someone, they had broken up, but they still had to be in the same apartment.
Yes.
Right?
And it was like, what are we going to do?
We got an update.
Okay, please. God, I was worried about that situation.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. This is Chris from Philadelphia coming back to you with an update. Once again, pronouns he, him, or any pronouns with respect. Thank you so much for your kind response. Both you and your guest Leland were lovely and so nice to me, and I felt very supported from afar. I just want you to know that things are going well. We're still seeing it out. It's made possible by the fact that we live in a 3-bedroom house, so we have the ability to sort of have some separation from one another when we need it. But also, we've made a good transition to friendship. So, you know, I'm leaning into that. It looks like he's going to probably be moving out in June, so a little earlier than we thought. So really, just really one more month to get through before sort of the next chapter can begin. But I'm grateful that he and I have managed to respect each other for the most part and you know, find common ground in what is an uncommon situation and an uncomfortable situation. So I'm proud of myself for the way I've handled this. And anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention is I'm so glad that we've outed Andy as a huge Trekkie and Star Trek fan. You want to come on the podcast? Come join us on the Prime Subjective. We'd love to have you. your latest denial / embracing of Star Trek, really, I was on the floor laughing very hard. I did want to point out that when you, in your first response, when you mentioned Picard and the Borg, that happens at the end of season 3, 3 into 4. You know, that's when we get that. Anyway, don't worry about it. We can talk about it when you come on the podcast. Anyway, truly love you guys so much. Listening to you every week has been a real boon in good times and bad. Not to sound like a line stretch, but yeah, good times and bum times. I've seen them all. But yeah, thank you so much. And thanks. Keep on giving that good advice and being funny. And Naomi, I hope you have a great Netflix is a joke fest show, and you're going to be amazing. Okay, bye.
Wow.
Okay, this is the best update ever. It was rich. It was a layered tapestry. It involves Star Trek again, Andy's favorite.
If you write to couplestherapypod@gmail.com, I will be on. I can't promise I will know anything more than Star Trek The Next Generation, but I will definitely be on.
Wow. Okay, that is legally binding. Yeah. Andrew.
And Naomi, Lord. Speaking of Netflix as a joke fest.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the well wishes, Chris, because it is coming up. If you are listening to this episode, so the day it drops, the show's tomorrow
and it's almost sold out.
Wednesday, May 8th, 9:45 p.m. I've been saying 10 o'clock. Apparently the show's gonna start at 9:45. I said, okay, the Lord gave us 15 earlier minutes.
Contract did say 10.
The contract said 10, just so we're gonna clear. Be started, okay? And then I look, because I thought it was doors 9:45. No, it is starting at 9:45, and it's gonna be fun. We've got Aparna Nancherla opening, and we also have today's guest on the pod opening as well. You've already heard his dulcet tones. You know him. You love him. He's been on his show a bunch because we're obsessed. The one, the only, Brian Safi. podcast king. I think Lauren Lapkus is podcast queen and Brian Savi is podcast king.
I was like, we were thinking about who to have on the show, and I'm like, I haven't actually seen Brian in a while.
Yes. So this is the way to do it. Yeah. Over Zoom via podcast.
Look, this is how we socialize these days, all right? Naomi's got two jobs. We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, the time is limited. We're getting in an hour on a Saturday, an hour on a Sunday, and then I'm laying down. But Brian Safi, come on, you know him from his podcast Attitudes with Aaron Gibson. His other podcast, Ask Rana, with Rana Glickman, okay? His other podcast and live show, No Autographs Please, with Arden Marine. Mm. I mean, he's doing it all. Have you seen Brian on 911? Okay.
Have you?
He is a dispatcher. He is giving the drama. He is giving procedural. He is giving energy. And we love it. And you know what? Cannot wait to see him open for me tomorrow night along with Aparna.
Ticket link in the show notes.
Absolutely. And remember, masks required, pajamas encouraged. I got a new look. It's going to be on. It's on theme for me. Okay. It's like what I do, but I think it'll be cute. Okay. Without further ado,
roll it. Oh, Brian. So Naomi just woke up from a nap. I just read a comment that was not kind to me. So we are both.
Oh, no. You read an unkind comment, Andy.
Why did I do it?
Why did you do it?
I don't know why I did it.
On what platform?
Well, let's not go into it.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It was not.
I'm so sorry.
Of the two of us, Naomi, it was not kind to the half of us.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
Oh, a rueful laugh. So
a rueful laugh.
So that's where we are emotionally. How are you? Where are you in your heart?
You know, I'm a little bit. Are you allowed to say jet lagged if it's just the East Coast? You're probably not.
Why? Yes, you are.
Why not?
Yeah? That's a time diff. 3 hours.
Well, I'm back from Key West where I met my parents. The water was pretty. I saw Judy Blume. At a restaurant.
What? Okay, yes, I did see that story. Can you explain everything?
I was sitting at a restaurant, and I kept looking over at this very distinguished-looking lady who had honestly, I couldn't quite tell, but the thing that drew me to her was a giant drink was brought over to her, and it looked like it had a giant white knife in it, although that couldn't have been it.
Hold on, sorry.
I know.
Giant
it was like
knife.
A stunt drink, like a novelty drink or something,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Did you ever see that Kids in the Hall sketch, Girl Drink Drunk?
No, but I might have because I think I've seen all of that show. But was that one of the things they brought novelty drinks over?
Yeah, this is reminding me of that, yes.
Yes. And so I was like, wow, what a distinguished lady. Drinking something that looks like you'd get at a carnival.
Right.
And I kept looking at her. And I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then it occurred to me that I think Judy Blume has a bookstore in Key West and that she lives there part time. And I was like, that's fucking Judy Blume. That's her right there. And I wanted to say something, but I didn't.
I wouldn't recognize Judy Blume. This is what I'm impressed by. I would not recognize her. I mean, hello, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret, all day, every day.
I think they just released a documentary about her. And I think I've seen the thumbnail like a million times now, which is I have not actually clicked on the doc.
I recognize you from your thumbnail.
Exactly. Exactly. But otherwise, it was like when I left, one of the last things I saw in the airport was someone wearing a shirt because people fish down there a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And it said, everybody likes my rod. It even makes the fish C-O-M-E.
Oh, good.
And I truly,
God.
And this guy, by the way, was like 79. And I was like, I can't abide this anymore. We're done.
Yeah.
Did he buy that at Judy Blume's bookstore?
I don't know if she knows exactly what's going down at her store, but here, you know, I have no clue.
Oh my goodness, that is wild. That now Key West, I will say I've been to Key West. I went for spring break.
What?
But listen, it was spring break in high school, and it was with my friend Kate Petrie. Shout out to Kate Petrie, who recently just won a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, okay?
Wow.
Classiest, smartest person I know.
Wow.
Okay?
Unbelievable.
Congrats. I know. She got that endowment, Andy. So her mom, like her parents, it was like a spring break, and so I went, you know? So I was like Kate's friend. So we went down there, And it was like so fun because it is like, of course, you have to go to the Hemingway house. And of course, it's like,
yes, that was nice.
For a spring
break. And it's beautiful. It is beautiful. Beautiful.
But then it was funny because then there were also like some guys, because it was like some family friends, and they're like, either they were college age sons or something. They were also there like in a separate house, like, you know, with their parents or whatever. Or the point was, it was just so funny because we would like all have dinner and then me and Kate would be like, time to go to bed. And then like these teen cool boys would be like, hitting the parties of Pete West. And we were like, I'll have a lemonade and call it a night.
Oh, I'm with you though. That's how I was in high school. Like nothing edgy, fun. I was scared of everything. So that would have been my early bedtime.
Yeah.
Still exists. Yeah.
Why were you scared of everything? Because you were in Texas?
I think so. And my brother was like really bad and he was only 1 year and 9 days older. So I saw all the consequences of his disaster. He's fine now, but I saw the consequences of his disasters and was like, stay in the house. There's nothing good for you out there.
Wow.
Like, what was he doing? Just, sorry, in my mind, he was riding like a dune buggy and shooting a gun out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I think that was in the realm. Yeah. I mean, it was sneaking out, running away, doing drugs, probably selling them. I mean, it was.
Because at first I was going to say, is it like a rascally, you know, like I'm out, I'm at the party, but like
I'm throwing kernels of corn at windows. That was our bad stuff that we used to do.
No, you know, one time.
It was called raiding.
That sounds fun. One Devil's time, the Night. Worst thing I ever did was I tried to egg someone's house, this person who had wronged me deeply.
Oh,
and instead, I just lobbed the egg and it landed whole. And I just.
Wait. You threw a raw egg and it didn't break?
No, because it landed in the lawn.
It still should have had enough force to break the egg, Brian. Didn't.
I was so scared. I was like, ah! Terrified.
And
it didn't even break. So these people were probably like, someone left an egg.
Someone gave us this egg. A bird. It fell from a bird's nest.
Exactly.
Is this technically egging?
I don't know. Technically, it was like it was an egg gift.
Yeah. What did they do to you?
Oh, yeah. How did they wrong
okay.
you?
Okay. Good question. What did they do? She was very.
A sheep.
She was very, kind of just would put me down a lot, a little bit of a know-it-all. I mean, nothing really, okay, to be honest.
Brian,
you have to understand.
You're really backpedaling, considering part this of person the drove you to attempt to commit a crime.
Well, this is what they don't tell you. When you're an indoor kid like that, and you are afraid of everything, you are still building anger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're still, something is still going on inside of you. You're just not letting it loose for the world to see, but it is building inside you. So I think I was like, I have had it. Grabbed one egg. Lobbed it on her lawn.
Basically, like, don't kids at Easter, don't they do like an egg roll? Where they roll an egg. So you basically did an Easter egg roll.
I should have just written a note on her house being like, you can be really rude. Like that was, you know what I mean? Like that was the extent of it.
And was it ever known that you were the source of that egg?
No.
Never. No one ever knew.
That's the best question I ever heard. No, I don't think it was ever revealed. In fact, I think probably I forgave her after I did that. Do you know what I mean? Like, in my mind, I was sort of like, we should be friends. I mean, like, now that I feel like we've evened the playing field here.
I actually like this as, like, a psyop. Like, you are, like, messing with her mind. And that, like, to this day... Until she hears this, which she will, obviously.
She'll hear it. She's keeping up with you.
Until she hears this, she's been like, why was there an egg on my lawn? Right, what was going on?
Sinister.
I've tried to release that energy fully, but some of it still exists, like to where like I'll be a little annoyed with someone and I'll write back like, okay, sounds good. And I'll walk away being like, I told them. Oh, burn. Because in my mind, it's so much bigger, you know?
I have a question, and I'm sure I've brought this up to you before, but it's interesting. Like, okay, would you say... Would you describe yourself as non-confrontational?
Yes, I think I would describe myself as non-confrontational, yeah.
Even in your close friendships and relationships? And I say this because in both of the podcasts that you host with strong, opinionated women...
Yes.
You will say something, and then they will say the opposite, and you'll be yup, you're right.
Yep.
Like, and that's just a conversation, it's not an organ, but I was like, oh, that's so interesting how quickly Brian caves.
Damn, yes.
You're psychologically flaying our guest. I mean.
Honestly. No, but I think sometimes I think like, oh, I didn't see it that way. Yeah, you're right. And happen too
quickly. You're too
quickly.
Easily swayed. I'm worried about you joining an MLM.
Well, I'll tell... I'll tell you this. Yeah. Honestly, that's like sometimes I worry about certain friends of mine joining like cults or joining. But I do agree that I think I sometimes my opinions in my head stay strong.
Yeah.
But well, sometimes I'll be honest, that's Grana. I'm like, we got to keep it moving. We got to keep it moving. Like, let's go. But you're right. I do that. I do that. Yeah.
But I just wondered, yeah, if that was like, you know what I mean? Because here's the thing too, though. Like, in the I don't want to listen to two people argue. Do you know what I mean? Like, so sort of like,
no,
I know, totally get it where I'm like that. But then I do wonder, I was like, is this indicative of a larger Brian Safi trend?
Probably.
Where he is like, ooh, I don't want to have unnecessary discord.
And I think a lot of that's like a deep middle child syndrome sort of thing where I come from a family of extreme personalities, like screamers, even in good moods, like even when things are going well, everyone is screaming, maybe not even out of anger. So I think like I'm always like my sister, my brother, my parents, everyone is really type A. Uh-huh. And I think I actually am too, but like, I just like, I can't.
But not with that group.
Mess.
Exactly.
No.
You're around that. So can you explain why you choose to do such things as host Christmas at your home for your entire family or go to Key West?
You know what? My therapist asked me the exact same questions, to be honest with you.
Wow.
Every time he's like, why do you think you said yes to that when you know what a guy? I mean, literally, my stomach is wrecked for like months after. And after I say yes to it, I hang up the phone and I like throw myself in bed. And like, I'm like, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to do it? It's the path of least resistance for me. It's like, oh, we thought this would be fun. I'd be like, oh, you thought it was fun. I thought it'd be a blast. Like, just like dancing as fast as I can with that stuff. And I'm doing better with it to where like, I haven't seen, like, my parents are used to me seeing them at least once a month, maybe every 6 weeks. And so now, it had been since Christmas and I saw them this weekend. So I'm trying to be a little bit better about, like, okay, hey, we can talk more, but maybe see each other, like, two or three times a year. Because it's exhausting.
But when did you know, you've talked about, too, the extent to which, Andy, you can jump in at any time. I'm so sorry. I don't want you living in that comment you read, whatever it was. I want you
Andy,
here.
I live in them. I live in them, too. So if you are, I don't blame you.
Could you see it? Could you see, yeah, like, yes, around me, like, the words are a prison?
I get it.
Or encircling my body.
Yep. I fully get it though.
No. I have my own questions for Brian, but I'm fully invested in this line of questions.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're in the line. Okay, great. Because you mentioned, you know, at various times, again, it's so funny because obviously you put your life on the line for the art of podcasting. You've been doing it for years.
Sure.
You've been putting it out there for the community.
And I don't know if it's a trauma response or what. I never remember anything I said. Do you guys get that way? Like every time after we record, like the next week, I'm like, I said that? I don't even remember. I mean, it wasn't dishonest, but I just don't remember it.
I know. Yes, no. Especially like I'll get a message, you know, from someone and like, oh, this. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but that sounds like me. Like I have no idea.
But yes, I feel like I'm pretty much an open book. Yes.
But you talk about, you know, how like there were times that you didn't talk to your parents, right? Like there were a couple years. Where, you know, but then, so what was it? I'm curious. Kind of what was it to get back together, for lack of a better term, and now and then especially to the point where, you as you said, you were seeing them once a month every 6 weeks, because that seems like it's such a hard turn.
It was a really hard turn.
So yeah, walk me through the breakup.
The breakup. I mean, do you mind if I get a little serious for a second? I'll try
Absolutely.
To keep
it's
it light.
No, never be where you are.
Thank you. The breakup was thus. The breakup was me coming out and it being a disaster, and that my parents are very religious and it being like just traumatic and horrible. And I talked to them, I think, a year or two after that. And then when Aaron and I we got a TV show briefly for one season that was very unsuccessful on TV Land for throwing shade.
I remember, and I remember going, who are these white people talking about throwing shade?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, you weren't the only one. You weren't the only one. And it was
Michael Hartney wrote for it.
Yes, Michael Hartney.
Yeah, who we love. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I remember the day that show premiered, and I wasn't even talking to my parents at this point. My mom sent me a really nasty message about how disgusted, disappointed that the whole world was going to know how gross I was and blah, blah,
what?
Blah.
Oh, my God.
The day the show premiered.
Oh,
and then
Brian,
right around there, I also, the person I was dating, I got married, and I got another series of like really nasty messages about it. And I just was sort of like,
because she saw it basically. She saw that it was the marriage that happened.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Or it heard, I think, which I wasn't keeping it from her. We just weren't talking.
Right.
And
right.
I guess I should have given them a heads up, but I was also sort of like, why?
Yeah.
They're going to be so mean about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
What year was this about?
This was like 2016.
Okay.
16. Okay.
Because I think that's when the show, around when the show started, was like 2016. Okay. And
a very politically just like dry,
yeah,
placid,
uncharged
time. Nothing going on in that year.
Nothing happening that year. No extenuating circumstances. Yeah. America was in its glory days in the year 2016. It was the beginning of, really the beginning of the end. But yeah, and so then you just didn't talk for years, and then They issued as if it were a statement. They reached out with a really sincere apology of like,
what year is this? Is this 2019?
So this is like, yeah, like 2019.
So this is pretty recent that you guys have come back together.
Pretty recent. Yeah, okay. Pretty recent. And orchestrated, I think, also by my brother and sister, who were sort of like, and it also came at a point where I was sort of like, you know what? Like, I don't, certainly don't need them anymore. I did want to be around them again, but it's a very different world. Even though we see each other a lot more, and I sometimes feel like I'm bending over backwards for them, it's never for that, which is the surprising thing, is you think your relationship will change, and so much of it has. For instance, we went to the... We all together yesterday went to the Tennessee Williams Museum before I left in Key West. There was a big wall dedicated to his partner and blah, blah, blah. And my parents were like, oh, how lovely. And that's when he was the most productive and really goes to show you if you're in love with the right person. Like, it is a full circle thing. Mm-hmm. They're my parents and doing all those things. And for me, I'm not saying for everyone, for me, it just got to a point where my parents are getting older. They're showing it. They're wearing it. They apologized. I have forgiven them. I was in therapy 3 times a week at that point and just sort of was like, you know, I've moved on from that trauma. There's plenty of other trauma I have from them that's not extenuating from that. And I think I sort of was just like, let's be done with that part of it for myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we changed the name of the podcast because we realized we're two deluded white people who don't know what the fuck we're doing.
I do love the new name.
I do.
Attitudes. Yeah.
So fun.
So stupid.
Yeah. No, it's great.
And the font. Yeah.
Everything about it is fantastic.
So dumb.
I am very curious because, again, I've never been through this kind of situation, but I think I would have held the spite in my heart forever.
Oh my God, I did.
I could understand, though, why a healthier person would be like, I'll let this go. But like, I would have been very cynical and been thought probably, what's their angle? And I'm curious.
With the apology.
Oh, no, I it's a good question.
Like, does someone need a kidney? What is going on?
Yeah, I think that I am probably the person who has always done the most for them in terms of care and this sort of thing. And so I think genuinely part of it was like, we fucked up. Mm-hmm. I do think that was genuinely part of it. And I think also I came from a very conservative family, but they were the only two who were like that. They found religion in a kind of a late way and in a way that came on strong, as many people who find religion late, like they dive in, you know. But my grandparents weren't like that on either side. My aunts, uncles, cousins, nobody. I mean, they really were on an island. Their friends weren't like that. So I think maybe they shifted with the culture too. Yeah.
Okay.
What denomination?
That's the thing, Episcopal. But they went with the Episcopal. So there was a part of Episcopalianism that went away, or that broke. Well, no, that's not true. There was part of Episcopalian that is very liberal, and my parents are the part that broke away from the liberal part. So okay. they were like, this is getting too cool, and then it became very uncool. But they are definitely much more open-minded than they used to be. And I don't know, maybe their hard hearts have softened in their older age.
How do you manage to do this so regularly? Because, you know, something that I really connect with you on, and like the way you, again, this is, as you said, with the trauma released of those things, just mm-hmm. to interact, your mom can be, she is naturally critical. It seems
yes.
to be like her love language. It seems
yes.
to be sort of how she engages. It's what she enjoys speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, and this is just, I guess, me asking for advice.
Yeah, please.
How do you engage with that regularly and often and not feel bad? Or, because I don't know how to.
I don't know that I do. I don't know that I walk away not feeling bad. I think it's almost like when, this is a ridiculous comparison actually, but it's almost like when you lose out on something professionally. It, even though we've been doing this forever now, it, the sting of that doesn't vanish. It just lasts less. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of like, yeah. I step away from them when some, like, if it's a, on a phone call that I feel like, wow, I was just lobbed a bullet, you know? And then, but then you're sort of like, you remember things you've learned or something, or maybe it's just inherent now. And that for me is just a shorter period of time. Mm-hmm. They also just don't come at me as hard as they used to. I think they know. My brother told me this once, like, they know you could do this again.
Not talk to them.
Right. Yeah. I could. Like I said, like, it's not a necessity as much anymore to have them in my life. It just is sometimes nice and sometimes very painful, but it isn't like it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes nice, sometimes very painful. So.
Yeah. And by the way, that is not to say that I'm doing it right, or I think probably my therapist would say my boundaries with them are still way too soft, and I wouldn't disagree. Mm-hmm, you know, so it's, I guess, evolving.
Yeah.
No, but it is. I know. I just think about it because it's good, because it's like I want to be able to show up more, and yet I don't know how to fortify myself.
Naomi, I got to be honest with you. I think you're probably doing it the right way, and I think I've got a lot to learn. Seriously. Like, if your boundaries are strong, there's, what's the point of loosening them? You're not.
I don't know. I don't know if it's strong or what. It's tricky because it's also like I'm an only child. So I do feel a little more responsible.
More burdened. Yeah.
Like, it feels a little like harsher. And
yeah.
There's also, it's interesting. It's also like, because something I talked to Andy a lot about, where it's like, it's not who I want to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even though it's like, there's what I perhaps need, but I don't even want to need that. Like, because my mom and I were like, you know, it was just me and her for so many years.
Right.
Like, we were code D. Okay.
Yeah. Well, how could you not be? Yeah.
And so, and sometimes it's like I miss that closeness, but that closeness is directly correlated to me being a child with no agency. Right. Do you know what I mean? That's when we were close, you know, but it was like, anyway, this is a whole nother Oprah head.
That's the messed up thing is, I think my mom from a young age, and I'm not saying that your mother was like this at all, but with the codependency, my mom started asking for my support and my help from like the age of 4. So it is very difficult to break that. You know what I mean?
She just
the boundaries were not there in terms of like, your dad and I got in a fight and he said something really mean to me. And like, I mean, those conversations were happening when I was like 4. That's when that started.
This is giving flashes of Mecky.
Yeah. We just talked to Mecky Leeper and it was the same. His mom at like, when he was 9 years old, basically unloaded on him and told him about like all the affairs his dad was having and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just like, my question to him was, how did you emotionally deal with that? I'm going to give you that same question. Like, I mean, at 4, you're not even cognizant, really, but I'm sure of, like, as you're getting into, like, you know,
teen.
6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Sort of
like, so how are you emotionally dealing with getting, like, an onslaught? An onslaught of emotion, of, like, way too much emotional stuff from a parent.
I can cut that off now to where when it starts going down that path, I can say to her, I'm not discussing this, or that's between you and your therapist, which she doesn't have, or that's between you and dad. I don't want to get involved.
Or you and God.
Honestly, that's between you and God. Because I do, yeah, it poisons the well. I mean, it made me really dislike my dad throughout my entire childhood for no real reason. You know, he wasn't ever abusive to her, never cheated on her, anything like that. So but now it really is just cutting it off at the quick. Like, really, my mom just likes talking about her friends. Yeah. So I just listen to that.
But what about when you were a kid? Like, how did you deal with
that? Oh, you couldn't say that.
I was just scared of everything and constantly nervous that my parents were, you know, gonna break up and just scared for her. Always. Uh-huh. Yeah, so just nervous for her.
Is that the kernel of the fear? Is that where all the fear started?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And also just, it's funny, like, whenever I'm dating someone, there comes a certain point where they ask me, why do you always ask me, are you mad at me? And it is that thing. I was like, I think it's a trauma response of that was sort of a separate thing of my of every morning not knowing what my mom's emotional state was going to be and thinking it was going to be my fault no matter what. Yes. And so I still, yes. It's crazy how that carries over. And yeah. I think my boundaries with my friendships actually now are very strong that if I feel taken advantage of or that something's crossing a line, I do cut it off fast. I think yeah. sometimes even too fast, possibly. Like, I think I can even be harsh with it. Exactly. Yeah. Your parents are always the last stop in learning how to draw everything and in learning how to reorganize your life. They are the last stop. I mean, that really is like a never-ending story, like those two things that have the beams out of their eyes coming. But that's it. I could have made a more topical reference, but I'm Atreyu.
That's right.
Those are my parents and I'm Atreyu in that moment. You know? That's like the final stop.
Oh my goodness.
Who's the giant turtle in this?
Oh God, good question. Let me think. I guess my honestly, it's my very first therapist I ever had wow. who used to tell me one time when I wanted to get out of work for something, I had an admin job. This was when I was in my 20s. And I said, I want to leave work early. There's this thing I want to do, but I know if I ask, they're going to say no. And she goes, well, when they ask, and I go, and she goes, just tell them you can't stay. And I go, well, what if they ask why? The first thing she told me to say was, I don't think that's really any of your business. And I go, well, I can't say that to my boss. And she goes, well, then tell them I have a black tie affair I have to attend. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. But that's my turtle.
Yeah. Wow. I love her. That's very Jan.
She was very, very bougie. Wow. Yeah.
Very Jan, very Nancy Byers energy.
Yes. Yes. Completely.
Yeah. And like, we're the little kid reading the Book of Brian.
Yes,
exactly.
We are. That's beautiful. Exactly. You brought that all the way home.
Very nice. Yeah. All
the
way home.
And the audience is Falcor. Let's keep going.
Yep. With nope. 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 Can't get in there. Can't get in there.
The I haven't seen Falcor. That in forever. I should
the audience is Falcor would be, that's lovely. That's warm energy.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a question? I don't want to jump in, so I want to give you a moment to ask a question.
I do, because I have, this is my chance. You know, I know that you guys probably voice note, and I only catch up with Brian one-sidedly by listening to you on a podcast.
And so. Honestly, basically whenever we're recording something, I catch up with you. And in person, when I get to see you every twice a year, maybe.
Yeah, twice a year at Arden's parties.
Exactly. Arden's parties or Naomi's birthday or something like that.
Yes. Or if.
Which are also the same month, the same week. Right. So we're seeing each other.
Oh my God, that's right.
If Jess has something every once in a while.
That's right.
So, okay. But this is my chance because I have not kept up with your love life and I am curious.
Yes.
What's going on?
Did you say furious or curious?
I'm furious.
I'm curious.
What's going on? Why don't I know this?
That's a good question. What's going on? Listen, either someone I am seeing in New York, we're sort of like, the distance is definitely a factor. So it's hard to put necessarily a label on it or anything like that. But I really do enjoy seeing him and he's a lot of fun. And, not of this world, which by the way, I would actually like to date someone
okay,
of this world.
Okay, so we're saying alien. Okay, alien. Because I love the phrase.
He works in nonprofit. He has like a.
No, I know, but I love this idea you're describing as not of this world.
He's not of this world. I've made him up entirely. He doesn't exist. But he's in New York. I have to say, like, I have, and this sounds very jaded, I have tried meeting people here. It is a disaster from A to Z. I am not interested in it. So
here being Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Here being Los Angeles. So whenever I've tried to meet people, it's been in New York, but I've sort of stopped the search because when I'm there, I really like enjoy spending time with them. So
okay. So how long has that been going on?
Honestly, we started dating. This is going to sound like a long time. We started dating like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But that was seeing each other sometimes right. 2 days a month.
Right,
so,
right. No. I was just wondering why, how long, because here's what you're going to say, because my question was going to be, Brian, you seem to travel constantly. What are you running from?
No.
Actually, is that going to be your question?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. But now I know, okay, you're seeing someone in New York. So
yes,
that makes
I am
that a frequent trip for like that fun. But I was like, Brian, what is going on? Because you can stay in one fucking place.
No, it's true. I know. A big part of that is that yeah. I am seeing someone
yes,
in New York.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So now.
And
now,
he can't work from anywhere in the United States except New York.
What?
Like, he can occasionally work from home, and so then he'll come out to LA. But, like, it's a Friday to Monday situation. Whereas I, if I'm not shooting, can just be there, you know, and record from there and everything like that. So it always makes more sense for me to go
there. So he's legally an alien. Legally.
He's a legal alien. That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad you're dating somebody you like.
You don't like somebody you like.
You don't like very many people.
I don't. I have to be honest with you. I really don't like very many people.
Like, I don't.
I like the two of you.
Romantically or just like normally?
Well, definitely romantically. Only because I have a real problem. I have all kinds of dysmorphia but the opposite. So I think I look better than I do. And I think I think my self-worth is much more than maybe it should be. I'll date someone and I'll be like, you're surely not good enough for me. And like, that might not be true. I don't know. I'm sounding like such an asshole. But I don't know. I sometimes think, and maybe this is the culture now, where if one thing goes wrong, I'm like, this is an emblem for everything else. If it's not a feather, it's a brick wall. If it's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's the first red light, I'm out. And I'm like, was it a red light? I don't know. I might be too judgmental. Like, that's such a thing now of just like someone says one thing wrong and you're like, in 10 years they're going to be cheating on me and kicking me to the curb. And it's like, they just said one thing you didn't like.
I have a theory about that.
Yeah.
I think that is the corporatization of all of existence, because in corporate culture, a lot of the executives I met, not in this business, every executive I met in this business is great. But in other things, when I had day jobs and stuff like that,
sure,
they were very dumb people. And they would think one instance of something is now emblematic of an entire raft of problems.
Yeah.
And now we have to address this one, even though that one thing might have been a mistake,
No, but it's like that.
May have been a mistake or whatever. But then they suddenly like, because they can't conceive of anything more than just what's in front of them. They have
that has been
problems.
A big lesson, actually, is like, because that actually is a good lesson in also letting go of expectations, because it's true. It's sort of like you go in for something and they're like, oh, I wish his hair was parted on the other side. So let's just get rid of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's not going to work. Someone else entirely.
Exactly. Like, you're absolutely right. It just doesn't. And what can you even do about that, you know?
Right, yeah. Right. So I think once we are on the other side of late-stage capitalism, if we get there and all that types, but I think we should all start cultivating a kind of more generous spirit
in
our own lives.
Well, I definitely agree. I feel like I have a lot of individual generosity. I have trouble with collective generosity. I think here's my theory on that, because I don't think you're wrong, but I think another part of it too, because you said you're like, you know how this is a thing now? First thought, no, that's your thing, okay? Not a thing. So we're not going to make that a global movement. However, I think that impulse, the also like, because I think it's in line with a similar good vibes only, and I don't have time for your negativity.
Yes, yes.
And now it's like positivity.
Yes, I think though, there's an element of that because certainly, I will say for me personally, it does feel like just simply moving through the world is more of a struggle than it used to be. Meaning, what is it to be in a place that's physically safe? To be with people who you trust? To be with people then you can be honest with? You know, we are, how do I move with a full awareness of global atrocity while also attempting to pursue my own interests?
Completely.
And how do I do that without guilt, right? These are all things that we just do just living, right?
Yeah.
So that then when you meet a person and a new person comes in with the intent of like building something together, you know, a romantic relationship, there's not a lot of bandwidth left for tilling the field, for like doing the work of sorting through that person, right? So you're like, I like you, but like I'm also hanging on by a thread. So when you say something that's out of pocket, it might actually be best for me to just go home, because I don't even know.
Cuts that one thread, and now you're falling into the abyss.
That's what
100%. 100%. And I feel like actually when I have had tiffs in my personal relationships, I honestly want to say in the past year, even if they're small things, and it's a tiny thing, I'm like, I need to call you about this. I need to talk about that. You know what I mean? And again, that is maybe my journey and maybe me trying to like just be more out loud about stuff like that. But I do think there is a thing now of not letting anything fly because it could damage your ego or your personal whatever. And I do feel that way even with dating of even the person I'm dating. If you say something that kind of hit me the wrong way and it's like, well, what about giving someone the benefit of the doubt here?
Yeah.
Like, are they that sort of person who would deliberately try and say something rude to you?
Right. No. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, God. Life is hard. Effie, we all got pain.
It is hard.
That's all I've been saying in my head. All I say is I'm like, Effie, we all got pain. Effie, we all got pain. Like, that's like how I'm trying to, like, everybody, even the most, you know, seemingly privileged, they got something going on with them.
Oh, it 100%.
Could be of their own making. Don't get me wrong. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But they got something going on.
Even our class enemies have pain.
Even our class enemies.
Sometimes
Effie,
the most.
Even the class enemies got pain.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, look at someone as loathsome as Elon Musk, right? He's probably a psychic pit of pain. And that's probably at the core of why he's such a disgusting human being.
I might blame you both, actually, if I may.
Oh.
For the ultimate demise of my last relationship, which really did need to end.
Okay,
and I'll tell you why.
Wow. Okay. I'm pulling up. I'm sitting up straight.
Wow.
You're not going to know this. You're not going to even know why. The last time I was on here, possibly the time before, we talked about whether or not anyone could date someone who really admired Elon Musk. What you didn't know is I was dating someone who admired Elon Musk. And the more we parsed it out, the more I thought, and again, now I feel like I'm backtracking what I said before, except that actually was emblematic of deeper stuff. Like, I mean, that was sort of the headline and all the fine print was already there. But after we had that conversation, I remember thinking like, I'm going to look a little closer at this now. And I did.
Wow.
And it was ultimately the wrong thing.
What? Do you mind if I ask?
Yeah.
Like, what was the person just personally invested in Elon's like journey? Like, I'm babbling because when I think of Elon Musk, all I think of is a creature, like a dark creature of psychic pain
then
uses his money to infect other people with psychic pain.
Right. I think someone who, and I think someone who really was not lived in their own world and they were the center. I mean, really not an empath, really unconcerned about, really, I think even might have had the opinion of not paying taxes and having a lot of money is aspirational. And it was something that, listen, these people who have belief systems like that, not always, but some, they don't come out and tell you that, you know? And so this was the that was the first kernel, that conversation with you all of being like, I'm going to listen more. And that was the thread and it did unravel a lot
more.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Nice person.
You're welcome. And I'm glad that we helped you get there because that wouldn't have been right for you. That wouldn't have been right.
No, it wouldn't have been.
How long did it take you from I'm going to listen to being like, this is going to end? And what I'm really asking is, when you know something isn't right,
not long,
is it hard for you to say goodbye?
Yes, because for me, it can feel like
a failure.
Wow.
Yes. Big time. It could feel like a failure. And not anymore, but initially with relationships, this is years ago. So it wouldn't be my forethought. It wouldn't be my front thought, but like I would think in the background, this is the one where I'm going to show my parents that I'm just like everybody else. Like this is the one where I'm going to take home a country club guy and sort of show them like, look, da da da. We just happened to both be men. And then it became like, that was years ago. But now it is sort of, yes, a personal failure of your blinders were on for what, and they were with this particular person, but yes, failure.
Have your parents met your new beau?
They have not. They have not. Only like because the they haven't been to New York and I got to tell you, like, they know about him. I'm okay with that. I don't really need, my mom is the kind of person who when my brother is married, but, and when my sister wasn't even now, my mom gets the phone numbers of the boyfriends and girlfriends very quickly and calls them when Her kids won't call her back. Or one time, my sister's ex was going gray, and my mom would constantly call him and be like, "You're old. I mean, you're looking old." And she'll call them with suggestions, tips, favors. Like, I can't ask Caroline; she'll kill me. But would you mind sending me like da 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 da? Yeah. Can you take a picture of the thing I sent Caroline? I just want to see if it looks good in the house. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So I am actually like okay with them knowing about him. And of course, if depending on how this goes, because again, we're also not, I don't necessarily know that we're even there yet, even though it's been a while. Like, but yeah. And his parents live out of the country and have no intentions of
smart
coming to
people.
The States.
Listen,
I gotta be honest with you. I don't really know. That is sort of a thing that hasn't crossed that road.
But no, but your mom, okay, mm-hmm. no, I mean, that's a real nugget of information is that she will call and get in there.
She gets
Wait,
involved.
Why wouldn't they want to come to America in 2024?
You know, it's a great question. I told them, I said, if your parents are going to come between November 2024 and January 2025, I'm not interested in meeting them ever.
We're entering our national January 6th phase.
Exactly. You have to be here for the celebration, yeah. I do know that his parents are firmly not on that side.
So I got a suggestion, by the way. I think you should get a burner phone. And then you give that number to your mom. Mm. You and both your siblings share this one phone. And then
that's a great idea.
That number for all of your boyfriends or husbands or spouses, whatever, right? She gets that one number. And then you can or a calling service. Isn't that what
an answering service like what doctors have?
Answering service. And that's a great idea.
All call in together and get all the notes.
Well, it's
once.
Also like, it should all, but I think it could also be helpful to her. Where it's like, she calls an answering service and it's like, what would you like? And it's like, I want to talk to so-and-so. No. What is your question? And then she will have to say it out loud to someone.
Second.
And she may realize in the saying of it out loud that it's nonsense.
I love that.
She may be like,
that's a great idea.
Okay, well, now that I hear it back and you've taken a flat non-response.
Maybe I should start telling her that because sometimes she'll call me and I only call her on the weekends even when she calls me. She'll call me a few times a week. I don't return the call until the weekend because I always know maybe I should say like, and she'll be like, oh, you didn't call me back. And I'll be like, what did you need? And she'll be like, I mean, it's the usual stuff. You know what I mean? I didn't know if the remote took AAAs or AAs. And it's like, did you open it? Did you find out? I'm not calling you back for that, you know? But maybe I'll say from now on, just say what your question is, because maybe she'd be like, Is this a business?
It's a critical parent answering service. So if you have a critical parent, you change your phone number and then you give them the number for this answering service.
Right.
They take the message and then once a week, maybe you check in with the answering service.
You listen to all the messages
and you listen to all.
And the answering service should also repeat the question back to the person who called in and asked it. You know what I mean? Just so I have this down and then repeat it.
Is this dirt or mildew on the shower curtain?
Is that the question?
Like, oh, you know what? I can kind of figure that out. I'll just like smudge it with my finger and if it comes off, it's just dirt.
I will be an investor for that for sure.
Well, Andy, do you feel ready to answer a question?
Yeah.
Brian, do you feel ready to save lives?
I'm so ready. Let's do this.
Okay. Right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to answer your advice cues.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the soft, smoothing, seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought, it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
And we're back! With Brian Safi here to help you handle your scandal, honey. Brian, setting boundaries and visiting foundries. I'm loving this.
Brian, I was like, hey, we haven't talked to you in a while. Got to have you back on, and it's very nice to see you. Just want to say that.
I'll be here any second. I love seeing both of you, honestly.
All right. We get questions from all over, mostly Instagram, DM, Gmail, voicemail. Of course, Naomi, what is the number? Because voicemail is our favorite.
323-524-7839. Remember, there's a 3-minute limit. So for that reason, you got to start out with your log line, okay? Your pronouns, because I am out here trying to misgender a bitch.
Yep.
My new thing, I'll tell you sidebar, new thing is like, I'm not trying to hurt people's feelings by accident. Do you know what I mean? No,
obviously.
I know, but I'm like, stuff
yes.
like that where I'm like, if I'm going to be mean, it must be intentional. Okay? It must be targeted.
Yes.
There must be.
And I'll let it
know.
Be known.
I am laying an egg on the grass. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's me letting you know. So I can't be out here misgendering because it's like needlessly rude. And it's like, what are we even trying to do? Like, you call me, you want me to help you, and then I say some rude shit? No. Absolutely not. Anyway,
I'm still picturing that person now that you put the egg on their lawn. They're in a mental institution because their entire life has unraveled from that moment. Like, what does this mean?
Absolutely. I mean, You're a philosopher, Andy. It's a very philosophical thing to leave an egg, because already the question is chicken or egg.
Right.
It's you know what I mean? The answer is egg.
Two things. First of all, it's giving, is it a pro-life statement? You know, to put an egg on a lawn, is it a pro-life statement? Are you an activist? And then
that's right. Can I make it clear here? I am a pro-life activist.
Loudly, clearly, recorded media.
Period.
And then it also harkens back to one of the greatest moments of the Ask Rana Kiki, which is when a woman named Marla said, "I have egg," in all caps. And so in that moment, that's absolutely iconic. Have egg, you know, in your own teenage life, to then becoming someone who's fostering other people having egg. And then it's like you're a pro-life activist. So a lot can be seen in this text. You know, that incident is a historical document.
That's right.
That's a historical document.
Absolutely.
This first one comes to us from an Instagram direct message. Is anonymous.
Oof, anon.
Even though they say their name in... So, Naomi, read this, but skip over their name.
Okay. Hi, Andy, Naomi, and illustrious guest. I'm blank, cis white gay male. Logline. This is good for Brian. How do I break up with my hairstylist? My husband and I have used the same hairstylist for around 7 years. We become very friendly with him. We don't hang out, but follow each other on socials, etc. But the price for a basic cut has nearly doubled since we've been seeing him, and it's become untenable. We like this guy a lot, and he recently went independent with his business, so I feel guilty about abandoning ship, but think it's time to make the move to someone who's a little more budget-friendly. How should I proceed? Thanks, kids. Love the pod. Brian.
Well, my first question back to them is this someone you would stay with if the price were less? Because I think that determines how you're going to handle this. Because what you could say is to them the next time, because this isn't a question of hair fatigue, which is when you've been with someone for so long that they're just half-assing it, but they're still charging you the same amount. And that can, by the way, the person I'm dating recommended, because I had to get my hair cut in New York for something, or because I wanted to, and he recommended me to his guy. I went, and the guy charged me $55 more, which was basically criminal, than he does to the guy I'm seeing. And I was an absolute shock.
Did you ask why?
And I was like, because he... No.
Did
and
you,
by the
no, way, in the moment, it was like, oh, this is like the meeting. Did you know the price going in and you got a curveball? Or did you find out after the fact that that was too much?
The price on the website and from the guy I'm seeing was the same. What the guy charged me was not the same. And I was so embarrassed because I didn't want to like blow up this, you know, whatever. So I paid it and I was horrified. Anyway. If you want to keep seeing this guy, I think you can say, I wouldn't ask him, can you give me a better price? I think you could say, we're so thrilled for your success. You're killing it. It's not easy to start your own business. Whatever flavor you want to put on that at the beginning. It's sadly just become too expensive for us. We love you. We wish you well. I don't think we're going to be able to afford to keep coming here. But do you have any, I think you could even say, do you have any recommendations for anyone who might be a little bit cheaper? I actually think you could say that. I mean, it would be okay.
Do you think that person knows who you are? Like they saw you on TV and they're like, I can charge this guy extra $55.
I don't think so. Because this was like a very, I really don't think so though. This was a business that had just moved over from Tokyo. And like, not that this means anything, but no one there spoke English. It was Japanese run and operated. And they didn't, or they, at least they didn't speak English to me.
I think it is so wild that any short haircut costs more than $50. And I prepare for any stylist to come in the chat, okay, and yell at me. But I'm not saying, meaning, because I'm all for a living.
And I know there's a premium getting your haircut in New York.
Yes, I also understand it's like so a living wage. There, I'm not saying it should, but I'm going to, okay, because I'm talking about like,
Naomi thinks every haircut should be $8.
No.
She's saying, but I'm like, Ed, you should be starving.
How long does it take to physically cut the shortcut, like a trick?
I think you're mostly paying their
rent.
You're
paying for the chair. You're paying for like maybe a nice smell in the space.
Especially there and here. You know what I mean? This specific salon was in Soho. And I know I'm paying for that. You know? Whereas I went again to get my haircut. I ended up going somewhere else because I was like, I cannot afford this. And it was in a much worse neighborhood and was therefore less expensive, but still good. So I'm doing that. But I think you could ask this guy, or you could say to this guy, We love you. It's just become too expensive. And so if you see us going somewhere else, it has nothing to do with anything except the price.
Right, with your quality. And, like, we'll always sing your praises. I think that's the important thing, too. But, like, we'll always, like, you do, there's nothing wrong here. We'll always sing your praises. I think you can do that. It's funny because, like, you know, I think it's like, but here's a question, though. Is that something that you have to preemptively do? Or is it meaning like?
How do you mean? Like,
hey, just wanted to let you know we're going to be switching stylists. Or do you just not see, do you just not go back? And then in a world where these people follow each other on social media, if it's like, hey, we miss you, or where have you been? You know, if the stylist reaches out the way people might do with their like longstanding clients, then you say like,
that's a good question. Because I could,
you know, we love you. We just haven't been, you know, unfortunately we cannot afford, you know, your new prices, which we totally understand you have to charge now that you're solo or whatever, but that's just what it is.
I don't think it should be like a conversation necessarily in person. I think that would be weird to get your hair cut and be like, this
exactly. You owe it to them. You owe it to them.
Yeah. But I do think whether it's presumptive or not, or later, I do think like just a DM would cut it.
I got two things.
Yeah.
One is the avoidant version, which is shave your heads and then be like, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah, that's smart.
Or
that's
absolutely
shave your head and be like, we've gone bald suddenly. It was the peanut butter solution. Like, I don't know what. What. I almost made Brian do a spit take. That was great. You were when I said that.
We have both encountered a major stressor in our life that we are trying to get to.
We saw a ghost and our hair fell out.
I love we both just instantly lost all of our hair. Both of us. We bought new sheets and new pillowcases and something terrible happened. We will no longer be needing your services.
Here's the other thing. Suck it up and pay. I'm sorry. Unless you are
sure.
Going through a financial difficulty yourself.
Which we all are. Effie, we all got paid.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Most of our money does go to vet bills.
Yes.
I know. Like, I do get it.
That's right. Yeah.
But if not, just pay the person. If you like what they do and you have the disposable cash.
I will say this.
But he said it's untenable. He used the word untenable, and I'm with
but
you.
But for
I'll
what
tell
reason?
You,
do you not
but
like?
But it's none of your business why it's untenable. If it's untenable, I can't tent it.
But
okay, I'm not able to tent it.
But I'm going to say this:
I cannot pitch that tent.
Some people
it's not
say
happening.
That because they
it cannot
they
happen.
Do have the money, but they resent having to pay. They're
okay,
like, well, it's doubled. It wasn't
okay.
This. It wasn't this
yes.
2 years ago.
Yes. Uh huh. Accurate.
You're not proving your point to Naomi.
That's okay.
I hate to tell
I don't
you,
need. My wife to agree with me. She's a different person.
Wow. Healthy.
I'll tell you this much. If it is untenable, that's one thing. However, my guy in LA who I love raised his prices. I cannot get in there. Even if I book like a month in advance, it's impossible. But the fact that I've been with him so long, it does give me a certain privilege with him because I've been seeing him now for a year, probably around the same amount of time, 7 years. I can text him and be like, is there no pressure? Can you work me in this week? And there are perks with loyalty. He'll be like, actually, I can. Yeah, someone just canceled. And you can get that in, you know? But if you cannot afford this, you cannot afford it.
No, sure. I'm with you.
That's,
I mean, look.
Totally.
There are things that I can't afford in as much as that's not where I want to put my money. Like, that's literally me, too.
Well,
like,
that's true, too.
I could
absolutely,
pay it, but that's not where
yeah.
I want my money to go.
Right. Do I need a lip sleeping mask? I don't, but I choose to pay for it. You
Wait,
understand?
Is that thing with the light? What's that light mask thing?
No, that's the LED thing.
What is it, too?
It's supposed, you know, it's a good question. It does work, I know, like, if they do it in a dermatologist's office or at a facial place because it's so strong there that it helps with wrinkles and it affects your collagen or something. But I think at home, it's a much less effect because the FDA would never approve that harsh of a light on you to do it yourself at home. So I don't actually know what it does, except I do know that in addition to maybe it taking a year to see results from doing it at home, it is supposed to really... It's even light therapy for your mood, that when you wake up and you put that mask on, apparently it's supposed to like really help your mood. But
oh, that's interesting. That's like,
but I don't know.
Do you guys know the artist James Turrell? I think that's his name.
Yes.
But he does these light enclosures almost. Like I remember going in one, I think at the Warhol Museum maybe, or at one of the museums in Pittsburgh. But it's basically like it was like this big egg, not to thematize today's episode.
We have to.
But you crawled into it, and then it changed light, like the color change inside. And
would it affect you, or did you notice it affected you?
It was amazing. It was really emotionally affecting. So I could understand by how putting light right in your face.
On your face.
Could be.
Right. Could affect you. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is just like a little, like, it's basically like a lip gloss thing that you wear when you sleep. I think it's literally just like chapstick.
Exfoliate.
But I do, but it's like $24 and I do buy it. Mm-hmm. That's where I put my money.
Exactly. Yeah. You said $10 for a haircut, $24 for the lip bag.
This is what I'm saying. This person went independent, right? They obviously are good at cutting your hair, listener.
Andy, no.
If only if you actually do have the money and it's not
correct. But, that's not it. Because if he had the money, he wouldn't be writing us telling us how to break up.
But what I don't, but you see what this, I'm Brian. Trying to say. My dear love, just listen for one moment.
I'm listening.
What I'm trying to say is that I don't know whether it truly is a financial problem or if it is a like, how dare this person double their prices?
Okay.
I don't know what it is. So in the absence of knowing the truth.
Yeah, you're just giving an alternative take.
I'm giving an alternative take. Thank you.
Yes, take. All right,
You both covered, I think, hey, if you don't want to, if you're really truly out of here, here's how you do it.
I think maybe, yes, if you're able to afford something like that, it is nice to pay the premium to support someone's business.
Yes.
To see them go off on their own. And also, but I do think that reaching out to them and letting them know in a really nice way that you just can't afford it, which is it's a fact here. It's also no better excuse. Who could ever argue with that? I can't afford it, or it just doesn't make me feel good, are things you cannot argue against, you know? And but he might, honestly, the feedback might be good. He could very well be charging way too much, you know?
That is very true for both of you.
It could be
an insane amount. It could be $395. Right.
But also a basic cut. You know, he's saying a basic cut is doubled. And again, I know, honey, inflation, et cetera, but it's like that's affecting all of us, in which case you're like, hey, I just can't. And it's not on, you know, it's not personal.
Right.
I'll tell you what, listener, for 1 month, I'll do your hair cutting for free.
Andy cuts
his own
hair.
I'll sweep up the hair. Do you really, Andy? Your hair always looks good.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. Mm-hmm. I just, it stems from the fact that I have dermatitis. And,
okay.
I don't like people touching my hair because it's brittle.
I get it. I got to be honest. I really don't like small talk at the hair salon. I mean, I participate in it. I'll do it.
Of course.
It's just not my favorite thing.
Yeah. You know, that's what I love about getting a blowout. You know, so loud we can't get into it. You know, she's blowing it out. We stop talking. So we talk a little bit.
Good
and then it's like,
point.
Can't hear you.
Yep.
Brian, do you have time for one more?
Of course I do. Anything for you all.
All right. Why don't we do this one?
Hi, Andy and Naomi. It's Madeline. She, her pronouns.
Thank you, Madeline.
Andy, Eaton Park no longer sells black and white cookies in Pittsburgh. Now they have smiley face cookies. I am sorry. I went to black and white cookies to send you a while ago and discovered that. And thank you for on the episode with Kay Cannon telling the caller she's a beautiful writer, because I am an avid reader and her message, her email was incredibly beautifully written. And I hope that the best thing that comes out of this debtor story for her is writing that can help other people too, as well.
Wow.
My question is this, if I have any time, Katie talked about writing 30 things she wanted in a partner. I grew up in a household with a lot of fighting between my parents and not a lot of role models for a healthy marriage. I grew up trained to be very independent, which I am. I'd love to have a relationship, but I don't know what a good relationship really looks like. My experiences with them have not been great, and so I found that it's better to be on my own. But sometimes it would be really nice to have a partner. How do you visualize or even know what a good relationship is? Mm-hmm. Certainly I read a lot. I don't watch so much television or anything, but how do you know what a realistic, healthy relationship is so that you can create a list of what you want? Thank you very much. And thank you to you Andy, to you, Naomi, and of course, illustrious guest, as always.
Illustrious. Madeline, we love
Madeline,
you.
Madeline, that's very
so
kind
sweet.
Of you.
It's so wonderful. Wow.
By the way, can I say this? I didn't even know Eden Park had black and white cookies. That would have been amazing. I wish I had known that.
But now they don't, so
don't
even.
I just ate the Smiley cookies when I lived in Pittsburgh.
I love a Smiley cookie, too. Is there anywhere in L.A. you get black? Is she mentioning that because you like black and white cookies?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Is there anywhere in L.A. that you like them?
No.
Does anyone here sell them?
Do you remember we had black and whites for the wedding, and they were from New York?
Yes!
They were from New York.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. I love a black and white cookie, but you never see them here, really.
No, I've not found a good one. I won't call attention to certain restaurants and places out here.
Do you eat, I'm sure you've gone into this, do you eat, when you can, the black and white together, or do you keep them separate? I know it's just a down-the-middle thing where you can eat them together, so it's not many opportunities.
Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
You take one bite of both of them together.
Yes.
And then you do back and forth until you get to the final bite, which is both of them together.
Well, honestly, Andy... I really love any method to eating is truly, especially a dessert, because I get it. You know what I mean? Next time I have one, you know what? Next time I'm in New York, which will probably be in a month or something, I'm going to try that.
Where, if you don't mind me asking, where does your boyfriend live? Like, where are you in the city?
It's a very inspirational, uplifting place. It's beautiful. You walk on the street and you immediately are not reminded of anything tragic. He lives in the financial district, which is wonderful.
I was going to try to get right above
those pits of water that are the memorial.
Oh, so
I do pass them every time I go outside.
Oh, great.
It's really, really, it's that and all the boys who used to bully me grown up and richer. So it's a real 1-2 punch. Awesome. But he lives in the financial district, which is what it is. You know, Manhattan's small, so it's you can get around.
I know, but I'm like, is it a nonprofit or is it a profit?
No. It's a nonprofit. Financial district by night is a pretty inexpensive place to live because none of those people who work there live there.
No one's
you know,
down there. Yeah.
All right, jump on the one train, go up to 114th and Broadway around there.
Okay.
Nussbaum and Wu.
Nussbaum and Wu.
I've never been there. I'll go. It's a bakery?
It's weirdly, I mean, I don't know what it is now. This is when I used to temp at Barnard. I would walk like 6 blocks down and I was just so like sad. I would just get a bunch of mini black and white cookies.
Oh my God, I'm there.
I think it's a Chinese
restaurant too.
Yeah. Okay. And also a bakery at the same time.
Fabulous. Yeah, Grace, I'll go.
So when we talk about, what is a good relationship? Yeah. What does that look like? What do you think of that? Do you have thoughts? I have thoughts, but you're the guest, and I would like you to answer first.
I will, but I really think this is all you, because you do have, outside looking in, at least a very healthy relationship. Well, both the two of you, I mean.
What I was going to say is, Andrew, because what you're saying is you're like, I don't even know what to visualize. And I think here's how I would start. It's sort of like, how do the people in your life, the friends and family that you're close to, make you feel? Because this is not necessarily at this juncture about like this tall and doing this and that or whatever, but it's more like, you know, and as you said, you were talking about the Kay Cannon episode, because, oh my God, Brian, you should listen to that one, honey, because
she's so
this
great.
Woman was like, a woman called in where basically like her husband had like drove them to financial ruin with like secret cards and debt and all this
kind
of stuff.
That's gutting.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was like, can I forgive this person? How do I forgive this person? Because we're still living in this hole. But, God. You know, Kay talked about kind of, in, you know, with her second marriage, sort of like, what do I want now? And so it's like, but a lot of that list. Yes, but that list is a lot of, you know, that's obviously in reaction to or as a result of her previous experience. And so what Madeline is saying was like, you know, that's not where she's coming at this, that type of thing. And so I think you come at it with like, for instance, I know it's like somebody who makes me feel, let's say something this vague, it's almost like a math problem in a way. Someone who makes me feel safe. Okay, well, what does safe mean? Someone who I can be silly around, right? Like, is that was it? It's okay, great. So we know somebody
that's good.
Which means, okay, so how do we get to someone who you can be silly around? Someone with a sense of humor. You know what I mean? Someone who likes these type of things that I like. Someone who I can talk to for hours like I talk to Sally down the street. Like whatever it is, right? Like, it's like you're kind of cobbling what are the best traits of the people
right
you're closest to. And that's what you want the partner to be. Because you're saying, so, like, you're independent. So it's
someone,
like,
and on those lines, actually, when you put it that way about family and friends, it really becomes crystal clear. Someone who can be happy for you, mm-hmm. you know, when you have success, or there for you when you don't. Like, that, right. those are things that close friends and family do.
Someone who is patient, right? For instance, if I'm, Madeline talks about, you know, being independent, working. You need a person who's not going to be like, what are you doing? Where are you? Why won't you come see right. me? You know, a person who has their own stuff going on. A person who has their own independence. A person who, as you said, being happy for you, but also, like, encouraging you to go forth with the stuff you want to do. Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that documentary years ago, a few years ago, RBG, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg mm-hmm. documentary, and being amazed by her husband and their marriage, Marty Ginsburg. I remember that feeling with that, like he was so just excited for her and happy for her. And I don't know, I just had never seen it like that before, where someone yeah. was truly like, look at you go, like you're the best, and da-da-da-da, and just, that was really nice.
Yeah. yeah.
I like in that documentary how he went Ruth Conda forever, and he made that.
Me too.
Andrew.
Me too. That was a really beautiful moment, yeah. I'm with you.
Someone who you can be honest around.
Yeah.
Who you feel like you are being yourself around, and you don't have to put up any kind of... I was going to say walls, but I mean, like, you don't have to put on a persona to be around them.
Right, right. No too cool. No, like, no. I've got to be laid back. You know, I also, like, think about, you know, as you were saying, I mean, even this is, you know, you're talking about, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her husband, but it's like, Madeline, what are the relationships you've seen? I know you didn't grow up with them, and you're saying yeah. you don't watch TV. And, you know, honey, if you're reading an 18th century novel, honey, I don't want you basing any romance on those shit.
Absolutely okay? not.
You're not looking yeah. for a second cousin who's going to be cold until he tells you he loves you. We're not doing that. Okay.
Right.
But are there people in your life who have relationships that you like where it's like, I want someone who talks about me the way, you know, Audrey talks about her girlfriend? You yep. know, somebody who I can take to a party the way so-and-so can always bring, you know, so-and-so.
And not have to worry and yes. just be, yes, excited so like, they're there even, yeah.
Thinking about little things like that. So, you know, this kind of modeling, I think it's rooted in sort of what are the feelings you want to have when you're with a person. Mm-hmm. And I think when you know that and you know yourself and what brings you that kind of joy, then when you're meeting people, if you want to go out, if you want to do apps, if you want to whatever, you are tuning into like, does this person make me feel comfortable? Is this person pleasant to be around? Is this somebody I want to keep talking to? And that's something I think better than like, is he tall? What's he do for work? Is he, you know, like.
I do think it really, like, even though I guess maybe this isn't a good way to go about it, but although maybe it is. Someone who you could really be friends with, and then plus you're attracted to them. It doesn't have to be the most attractive person you've ever met or anything, but just, I don't know. I think that's really key.
Do you know what I think it really does come down to, though? You can have this list of all these qualities you want, or you can be like, well, I want a marriage like the Coens on the OC, right? You could look at
yeah.
program, right? And whatever, right? Or a movie or something like that. I want to have a conversation like Dinner with Andre.
Like, yeah, that's absolutely. Conversation I want to have. Yeah, that's a
just an endless. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing that I really do think relationships come down to is chemistry. At the very core of it is this ineffable the vibes that you're catching off of someone, and then you have to build on that, right? Then it is all the other stuff, but I think it is. Instead of having this list, it is just meeting a lot of people and seeing where the vibes are coming from initially, and then communicating and doing all this other stuff on top of that. Is that
yeah.
kind of, but would you say you and I had chemistry right away?
We did, and that's the thing.
Because it almost felt like to me what I did feel right away was like a comfort, meaning like I feel like the first time Anthony and I, we met to go to the movies, we were at the 68th and Broadway, you know, the Lowe's, I don't know if it's still there.
Okay.
But where, like, you go up the big escalators and, like, all the theaters are kind of up there in different floors, right?
Yeah.
So I was downstairs at the entrance to the establishment. Andrew was upstairs at, like, the front, you know what I mean? Like, of, like,
auditorium the ticket counter
six.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Because he had the tickets.
Okay. Oh, I see.
And so, like, I'm sitting there being like, you know, and then, of course, I want to play it cool. So then I'm, like, not trying not to text him or bother him. But then I was like, okay, you... I was like, hi, I'm here. Where are you? You know? And yeah. He's like, I'm here. And I was like, no, you're not. You know? And then, like, he's like, I'm upstairs. So I go up there. And he, like, wasn't apologetic. And I was, like, really upset. I was like, excuse me. Like, you invited me out here. And, like, you're not even. And then Andy was just like, this is where the movie is. Like, it was just so funny because it felt like to me we were immediately arguing like an elderly couple in the When Harry Met Sally vignettes. We were already there.
Yeah.
Like, but it was like, it wasn't a date. But I was like, what are we doing? Where are you? What's happening?
Well, it sounds like immediately underneath that there was some kind of ease.
But that's what I mean, right? The ease of like,
that's what I'm saying.
Normally, because normally I would be
in your head.
Yes, and don't say anything and just be like, okay, cool. I'll be right there. You know, and this time it was like, boy, 100%. What?
100%. There was something about you that I could not describe that drew me in.
My je ne sais quoi.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
My petit plume.
Yeah. My petit plume.
Whatever these words mean. I'm an American. I don't. but yeah, I think that's only something. I think that's one of the problems with apps. I say this as if I've ever used one, but it feels to me like when you're listing just like qualities.
Yeah, you can't account for the chemistry.
You can't account for that. Because I think back to what I wanted when I was a teenager, which was someone who liked the same things I liked.
Right.
And how meaningless that is now.
Right.
Like, you need some stuff because you have to, like, watch some of the – you have to, like, go to some of the same cultural things together.
Right.
Right. But it doesn't have – like, Naomi does not like the same music I like.
Right.
Right.
And half of the shows – I think we have our half shows we agree on. We found House Hunters International in the middle. I can't get him to watch The Jinx 2, but I did get him to watch Mother God. And we're finding it.
See?
There are a lot of things that she does not like, and it doesn't matter to me. It absolutely doesn't matter
right.
in a way that it would have earlier in my life.
Exactly. I do think that's part of even being an adult is – hoping to like learn something from someone or to have plenty of things that you don't have in common too. As much as you do in common. I mean, not everyone's, otherwise you're like that movie, The Lobster, where it's like, you're like me, I like you, like let's do this forever. And we have really nothing tying us together except that you're me.
Yeah. You know? A movie that Naomi walked out on because she did not like it.
I refused. I think 40 minutes in, I said, oh hell no. And I sat outside on the bench and I said, I'll be here when it's over.
I understand.
No, you did get towards the end. Because if it would have been 40 minutes, I just would have left with you.
You two are spicy at a movie together, I gotta say. From the first date forward, that is where the differences pop.
Yeah, something about a theater.
And you know what? You are right. I do not like it. I was gonna say my least favorite Yorgos film.
Oh, but, for sure, mine too. Yeah.
But I think one of the things that we all do is we tend to paper over a lack of chemistry with other things. Like, we like the same chocolatier.
It's so true. The good on paper. I have to say, the apps do highlight the good on paper thing. But there really is no accounting for chemistry. I'm not saying you can't meet someone off an app, but I don't know. I think, funny enough, I think you almost have to, like, even if you're not meeting in person, get a feel for the person rather than every single thing they're saying.
No, you've got to meet them. I think in a way it's like you got to meet them sooner.
Yes.
Just about like, it's like, hey, let's like literally talk for 30 minutes and then we can kind of see if it's worth it to keep messaging.
But we've given over our hearts and souls to this kind of cold, algorithmic, functional way of seeing partners. And it's really when you envision what a good relationship is, it is someone, I think this goes back to what Naomi said earlier. It is someone that lifts you up, that makes you feel safe, that makes you, I think this is universal. I don't think this is just like when you think of a person, you have to, this is like one of the things that you should think of. I think this is the general thing.
The foundation.
Yeah. It is someone that allows you to be yourself and lifts you up and helps you become the full you. And I don't just mean that in a narcissistic kind of way. I mean that you do that to them. And
right. You for both, because also in being in relationships should also be improving you in some way. Yeah, giving you meaning like a net positive to your life.
Yep.
So that you do feel like, you know, Madeline saying where it's like, I feel like it's easy to be single because it's like I'm doing me. And so it's like,
no, I know, because sometimes life feels worse when you're with someone and you just don't want that.
Exactly. And that's when you know that's not the person, right? Like the whole idea is like, if you're in fact, I almost think like where Madeline's at, this feeling of like, I'm happy and like content on my own is actually the best place to be dating from.
Totally. I've always felt that way too. I mean, I've never, maybe that's why I don't date that much, is because I just have always felt sort of like I'm good being alone. I like it a lot, actually. And so that's maybe why the New York thing feels so good, is it really feels additive. You know, it really does.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So, you know, Madeline, this could happen for you. I think you just have to, you don't have to be so black and white about it, brass tacks, but just think about it. Think about the people in your life who bring you joy, because I know there have to be some of them there. And like, what, you know, if you were trying to get romantic, you know, what are those qualities would you want in the person? Mm-hmm. So
also, maybe you don't, maybe it's not for you.
No, Madeline's interested. She said there's some times where she's like, it'd be nice to have a person around.
And so just trying to but if you really, but there are some people where, like, because culture dictates, you're supposed to be paired up in this specific way. Right?
Sure. But you are just undoing things today. You tell Kevin to stay with the goddamn hairstylist. You're telling Madeline maybe to be single.
Madeline don't bother.
Andy, Brian has to go. He's a Kiki in 40.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to make sure.
You can't imagine the preparations I have. Naomi is right. I have to look up a BuzzFeed quiz. I mean, it just is endless for me, the stress.
I just want to make sure that Madeline looks in deep and is like, well, maybe I don't want this.
Yes, you don't want her to feel...
I don't want people to feel like culture has to dictate that.
Of course.
Especially American culture, which is just gross, and is just like fully suffused with white supremacy, heteronormativity.
Andrew, you said we was keeping it light. Do you see?
Good luck, Madeline.
You can do, Madeline. No, I'm telling you, Madeline, you can do whatever you want.
Whatever will bring you joy.
Whatever will bring you joy. As long as you can totally hurt other people.
What were you going to say, Bri?
I was just going to say, we're only at the very beginning. I think actually, especially in heterosexual relationships, only the very beginning of writing the rules a little more like you want them than it's previously. I think, you know, so indulge in that too.
Yeah.
Yes. Jean-Paul Sartre.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord. No, Brian, don't indulge him.
As Jean-Paul Sartre once said, Brian, you are the best.
Thank you.
I do love that he said that about me. It was very nice.
I know. It's very surprising because I think he passed away before you were born.
He did.
To read that, it felt like he was throwing forward into the future.
Yeah, and he even said Brian with a Y. And at the time, everyone was like, what? And then he was like, oh, well, here he is. So, Brian.
So, you make plans and, you know, God laughs, I think, is ultimately the, you know.
Brian.
Somehow
Brian,
that fits.
Brian.
Yeah,
Brian.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you so much for visiting us yet again, for gracing us with your presence, coming as always with an open heart.
Speaking of feeling safe, I feel so safe here. I really do.
You are home.
Really kind of me.
You're the greatest. I adore you. Love you. I'll see you in about 40 minutes.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.